It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Do you wash your legs every time you shower?
Yeah.
You make a point to wash your legs?
Yeah. I go down front side, back side, both legs.
The number of times I'll do something, I'll do yard work, I'll have visible dirt on my legs, and then take a shower and get out. My mom will say, like, what's that on your leg? Like, oh, I consistently miss dirt on my calf. I get a text there that says, Jeremy is the smelly kid in class. No one emits a smell from their
leg. Smelly legs? No, you just have dirt.
You don't emit a smell from your legs.
You might have dirt on it, that's all. I feel like as long as I'm in the shower, I might as well just wash my legs. I'm there, I got the washcloth, it's got soap.
And again, what I'm saying is that it just gets done by gravity.
Oh, because the soap just...
Yeah, just...
No, I like to scrub. I like scrubbing the legs. Make sure
exfoliate? Make sure you're...
Yes, I like to exfoliate. That's the word.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
And the things we talk about. Holy moly.
It is Friday. Jeremy is off.
Apparently awake, though, because he just tweeted at us. He's supposed to be sleeping.
That's an occupational hazard?
No. I don't know. When you get up this early, you get up. You know, your body doesn't know if it's an off day or a work day. I woke up at 3 o'clock this morning. I've been wide awake since.
Well, I knew yesterday was an off day for me.
Did you?
Let me tell you.
I'm pretty sure sleeping in for me is somewhere between 6 and 7 o'clock. If I get to 7, that is like, I really slept in today. I'm typically up, you know, 5, 5:30 on Saturdays and Sundays. So, you know, it comes with the territory.
Well, Wednesday night I had the Amherst game in Rochester.
Ah.
Didn't get back till a little after midnight. Roads were kind of iffy towards the hinterlands, so I was taking it a little slow. Got home. Fell asleep on the couch, woke up right around the time that I'm supposed to leave to come here.
Right.
And then it was just like, well, I'm not supposed to work. So I went back to bed and slept until well past 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I can't do that. It doesn't matter how late I stay up. I'm up between, you know, like 5 to 6 o'clock. I was off Wednesday, right? We went to the Leafs game. My wife and I went to the Sabres Leafs game. By the time we got home and I got to bed, it was after midnight. 5:15, I'm up. Ready to go. People don't care. All right. It is Friday. Jeremy is off. Brayton is here. I am here. We got a lot to talk about. First, let us remind everybody it is December 7th. So this date, the date which will live in infamy, 77 years ago, Pearl Harbor. And if you don't watch, you should. Smithsonian Channel, the Military Channel, the History Channel, my guess is they're all going to have documentaries about Pearl Harbor, fascinating stuff. For my parents, you know, for all of us, 9/11, right, is the day we all remember. The initial day everybody remembers for my parents, of course, was Pearl Harbor Day, and December 7th, 1941. So, just thinking about it today, just thought about it, listening, hearing the FDR speech in my head, and thinking about the attack on Pearl Harbor. I said I've never been to Hawaii. And I feel like a bucket list thing would be the USS Arizona Memorial. It's got to be an incredibly moving experience. As I said, I've seen documentaries, I've seen specials. You know, there's still oil coming out from the ship. To this day, 77 years later, there is still oil leaking out of the Arizona, and you can see the ship from the memorial. And I feel like that's something. I just checked it. Hawaii is like a long ways away. I think it's like a 6-hour plane flight from LA, which is a 5-hour plane flight from Buffalo. And yet, every time I see a special, a documentary, whatever, I feel like that's something I should experience. So someday, somehow, I think I need to get that off my bucket list.
That is certainly something that I would like to enjoy and go take a view at. You know, if I ever get to Hawaii, is go to the Pearl Harbor Memorial. But my aunt and uncle, they went out there just recently, and they couldn't even go out on the, they couldn't go to the memorial because there was the foundation cracked or something like that. So they have to do some repairs for that.
Okay. Cause I think you take a boat out to the memorial,
yes.
I think.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. It's really amazing. And, anyway, I don't know. It's December 7th and I saw someone had tweeted out about an hour ago, a picture, and I thought, yep, that's right. It's December 7th. So make note of that today. We do have a lot to get to this morning on this Friday. It is a football Friday, first of all, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And brought to you by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Save $15 on your first order with promo code TOPSWGR. We will talk Bills Jets. I've got some things I want to discuss. didn't have a chance to really get into this yesterday. Was a lot of stuff going on yesterday. I tweeted out a topic about Josh Allen. Didn't really get to it. So I want to get to that for a little bit this morning and what we've seen from Josh the last couple of games. And I think I actually didn't check this. I'm pretty sure I've got this one right. But if someone wants to double check my fact on this, I think this is the first game this season that two of those five first round quarterbacks start against each other. The Browns played the Jets earlier this season, and I want to say that Tyrod Taylor, I believe he started that game, was injured, and Baker Mayfield came on in that game, actually almost rallied the Browns to a win. I think the Jets won that game. I don't think Mayfield, anyway, whatever. So Mayfield didn't start.
No, that was the Thursday night game where they won.
Who did? The Browns?
The Browns did.
So he did. He rallied them to a victory,
yep.
Right? Okay, but Tyrod started that game.
That was the game, yes. He started that game, and that was the game where all the beer coolers were able to be open and everybody had
free
beer.
That's right. They celebrate. Okay, but again, Baker Mayfield didn't start. And I was trying to think, did Arizona play Cleveland? Lamar Jackson's couple games, I don't think, have come against one of these teams. So I believe this is the first matchup where two of the rookie quarterbacks start against each other, because the last time when it was supposed to be Allen versus Darnold, it was Barkley versus McCown. So we're going to get into Bills Jets today. Want to talk some Sabres as well. 4-game losing streak. I don't think people are panicking or getting worried. I don't think. Real good stretch of the schedule here these next three games. This homestand continuing with three very winnable games. But the Sabres are dealing with a run of injuries on defense. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. At any point, you can join us at 803-0550. Whatever discussion we are having at that time, or if there's something else you want to bring in, that's cool too. 888-552-550 is our toll-free number. I wanted to start with football this morning and start with a couple of things. One, 4 games left in the Bills season. We'll get to some things that, you know, I think you should be watching for. You can share some of the things that you're thinking about. You know, it's a December where the Bills are out of it, you know, 4-8. I didn't even check to see if they're still technically listed in the hunt at NFL.com or CBS Sports or any of these things. But 4-8, they're out of it. And not mathematically eliminated, but right, realistically out of it. 3 home games in December, not really something you'd probably be excited about. But there's the Josh Allen factor. And if there was any, you know, even if you weren't like, it's Josh Allen, whatever, the last 2 games I think have raised an excitement level about Josh Allen. Very happy with what I've seen the last 2 games. And I think, you know, watching him these last 4 games, hey, you know, I think they'll beat the Jets on Sunday. And I think they'll beat Miami here at the end of the season. So that leaves Detroit home and at New England. Maybe they put a little run together. Maybe they can get to 7-9 and Josh Allen can get to what? That would give him, I think, 6 wins as a rookie with a really bad offense. So there are definitely some things to watch for in the final 4 games of the season. But I would say for many of you, for me for sure, it all centers on watching Josh Allen. And I have seen improvements the last couple of games. We had discussion all through the summer when the quarterback battle was going on. The idea of, you know, when to get him in there, mental reps, can he learn by not playing and all this stuff. And then he finally starts and, you know, he's struggling a little bit there right up to the point where he gets injured against Houston. So he's out of the lineup and, he can learn from Derek Anderson, from watching Derek Anderson, and he can learn from watching Matt Barkley. That was the big deal right after the Jets game, the game where they blew him out 41-10, where Barkley comes off the street and, you know, they put up 41 points, which for this team was like a month's production. And I was never really a big believer in, you know, how much he could learn watching Derek Anderson or Matt Barkley. Quite honestly, Derek Anderson's role with the offense was pretty much the same as Josh Allen's and Nathan Peterman's. They weren't scoring. But it sure looks like he has looked better. The first 2 games back from the injury, he's looked better than the Josh Allen we saw going into the stretch, you know, going into that game in Houston, where he had a couple of nice throws, ends up getting hurt. But I thought overall his game was going backwards. There's a lot of signs to like in these last 2 games about Josh Allen. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about. Didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday. Got a whole bunch of tweets about that. Would love to get your phone calls this morning at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. What you've liked about Allen's game, or, you know, I shouldn't lead you on. What do you think of Allen's game the last 2 contests against Jacksonville and Miami? He does look, to me, more comfortable. I thought in the Jacksonville game, it was more of an eyeball test than a stat line. I mean, you're not going to look at it and go, wow, 8 for 19, he's definitely better. But it was some plays that he made and how he looked in that game against a really good defense. You know, the bomb touchdown, the throw to Benjamin, you know, some of, you know, the run plays, the quarterback draw. He looked like a guy who was, again, more comfortable in his NFL shoes, in his surroundings. I thought going in to, when he got hurt in that Houston game, he was getting more tentative, more hesitant. And now, especially this game against, I thought he was better against Jacksonville than he was the guy I saw at the time he was hurt. And then I thought he took another step in the second half against Miami. I thought he was better in that game than he was against Jacksonville. Not in the first half. He started out kind of slow. He was missing some throws. He wasn't making really good decisions when he threw the ball. He wasn't taking some short throws that were there to be made. And then he looked like an entirely different guy in the second half. He looked, they lose the game, which is really, you know, we said it on Monday. I was heartbroken Sunday night. Eh, whatever. Not because they lost and the season and all this and in the hunt and blah, blah, blah. I was heartbroken for Josh Allen because that would have been a signature performance. The way he played in the second half, he looked like a veteran quarterback. He looked in control of the offense. You know, he looked like a guy who's been in the league and knows how to rally his team from behind and was making plays to do exactly that, whether it's with his legs or with his arm. He just got into his zone, right, so to speak. And I was hoping he would get rewarded for that performance, and he didn't, ultimately, of course. But to me, that was a really big step forward. There are a number of things I've liked about him these last couple games. I mean, the running stats, of course, will jump off the page. Stat of the day. Brayton, you ready for an early stat of the day? I'll work this in because it's Josh Allen's rushing stats. So early stat of the day, Josh Allen, the last two games, has rushed for 234 yards. That is the most rushing yards by a quarterback in back-to-back games since 1951. That includes, you know, everybody who has run the ball as a quarterback, including like Michael Vick and all. Most rushing yards back-to-back games by a quarterback since 1951. So that jumps off the page at you, what he's done with his legs. Now, it does get to the discussion of how often should he run? Is he maybe leaving the pocket too early? At this point, I think you have a guy who wants to make plays for his team, really wants to show his leadership, wants to move the offense downfield. I think he would like to make plays in the passing game, but if it's not there, he is using his legs because he realizes that's a mismatch. You know, for sure, against Miami and against Jacksonville, it was a mismatch. We'll see what the Jets do in terms of whether they spy this guy, who they put on him, so forth and so on. But what I like about him is just, it feels like there's a little more air of confidence around him, okay? And I don't know if that's because he had a chance to step away from the game. He was injured. He missed some time. And he's watching things from the sideline. He's involved in the offense. He's listening to the plays. He's working with Derek Anderson. He's working with Matt Barkley. But he looks to be a little bit more confident. I think he's doing a better job of hanging in the pocket and trying to make plays. Yeah, there were times. I do worry when it comes to the running, not necessarily the injury issue, because I thought he did a fantastic job of smart running, if you will, against the Dolphins, okay? I don't think he did that against Jacksonville. I thought he left himself open for some injury, open for injury with some of the hits he took. But I thought against Miami, he did a much better job. In fact, I don't remember a big hit he took when he ran, okay? He got out of bounds, he slid, he did what he had to do, and he avoided any kind of hits. I do think, you know, about whether he knows he's such a good runner, whether he's leaning on it too much. He still should, first and foremost, want to throw the football, want to make plays in the passing game. If it's not there, if the line is breaking down and they did have some issues against Miami last week, then you know you have the legs as a way to not only keep a play alive, but to create a positive play. You know, again, 135 yards rushing against the Dolphins. But again, getting back to what I like about him, I do believe he's trying to make plays in the passing game. I think one of the things he does need to do better, I think he does still try and make bigger plays when sometimes a shorter throw is there for the taking. It's you know, take what the defense gives you. And we've heard Sean McDermott mention that a few times this year about Josh Allen. Now, I will tell you this, the fact that he does try and make plays as opposed to not taking what's there to be, I'll take that as opposed to the opposite of that. And that's like Trent Edwards, Captain Checkdown. I'd rather have Josh Allen, hey, I've got Zay Jones short, or I've got a checkdown hitter, LeSean McCoy, but he doesn't throw it because he's looking downfield and he wants to make a bigger throw. I'd rather have that guy trying to make plays than the quarterback who is hesitant to make that throw, is worried about an interception, and settles for short throws, checkdowns the majority of the time. I like the fact that Josh Allen has that aggressiveness inside him. I like the fact that he is still trying to make plays downfield. I think he did a better job against Miami of hanging in the pocket, and even Jacksonville, for that matter. The throw to Kelvin Benjamin, the throw to Foster, the touchdown throw to Foster, he's going to get crushed. I have no idea how that ball gets out, and Benjamin too. And even against Miami, I know there was a throw to Deontay Thompson that was, I don't know, maybe a 7 or 8 yard throw, but he hung in there in the pocket. And I thought there were times on Sunday where he stood strong, knowing he has the legs, he can run at any time and make a play, knowing the pressure is coming, knowing he's going to get hit, but he stood in the pocket and made some throws. That's a positive. I thought he did a better job in terms of when he did throw a short pass, throwing with a little bit more accuracy, with a little bit more touch. He had some bad short throws against Jacksonville, some one-hoppers, some off-target throws. He was a little better against Miami. He had a nice touch on a little throw that he lofted to, dropped it in the bucket to Patrick DeMarco on the 38-yard play. He still has a long way to go in terms of his consistency, his accuracy. You look at his completion percentage, and on the season, it is just a shade under 53%. Obviously, that's not good enough. So it's got to get better. You know, if you look at the other quarterbacks, the rookie guys, Baker Mayfield is the exception. I was looking at their completion percentages today. And again, you know, you take what you want from that. Some of this can be a byproduct of the offense. What kind of plays are they running in their passing game? What kind of, you know, are there more high percentage throws for one guy than there is for another guy? I think Allen's 52% completion percentage is also a byproduct of the fact that he doesn't necessarily take the safer, shorter, high percentage throws all the time. He'll try and get the 15-yard completion, the 20-yard completion. You know, in terms of air yards, actual air yards traveled, he's either, I think, first or second. He's right near the top, if not at the top, in terms of air yards traveled this year. But he's got to get better in terms of completion percentage. Mayfield's at 63%. He's the best of the group of the five rookie quarterbacks. Darnold is at 55%. Rosen, 54%. Lamar Jackson, 59%. So Josh is at the bottom of the list at 52.9%. That's got to get better. And again, I think in time, there's that balance because, as I said, you want him to be aggressive. I like that. I like the fact that he's trying to make big plays, but he also does have to do a better job of taking what is there from the defense and taking some of the shorter throws, maybe check it down to LeSean McCoy, a running back, a fullback, maybe make a 5 to 7 to 8 yard throw to a receiver running a shorter route as opposed to trying to go downfield. And look, let's face it, the running it's a big weapon, and I don't want him relying on his legs, but the idea that he's got those legs is great for multiple reasons. One, at the very least, he's a big, strong kid. He can escape sacks. He can use his legs to keep plays alive. You know, we've seen him throw on the run, you know, moving to the left, moving to the right. He had a nice throw, touchdown pass to Zay Jones, moving out of the pocket. So we've seen him use his legs to keep plays alive, but also the threat of a run is great. It keeps opposing defenses honest. If you're the Jets this week and, you know, Todd Bowles and these guys are watching the last two games, you've got to come up with a plan to keep Josh Allen from running the ball. And whether it's a spy or whether it's your edge rushers and contain and staying in your lanes, they have to take time this week to deal with Josh Allen running the football. Again, it shouldn't be the first thing in his mind, but it's nice to have that weapon. Oh, by the way, it's nice to have that weapon when the Bills' actual run game hasn't been really good this season. Did you know, this is not stat of the day, but I'm looking at the numbers yesterday, and we've talked all season long about how, you know, the Bills' running game has been bad. Is LeSean McCoy shot? I mean, is this the proverbial running back, you know, older running back hitting the wall season for LeSean McCoy? Do you know the Bills are 12th in rushing in the NFL? I was, like, stunned to see that. Rushing yards per game, they are 12th. Well, Josh Allen has helped boost that average with him running the football. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 as we talk a little bit about Josh Allen this morning. You can get in your Bills Jets prediction. I feel good about this one. It's funny. You look at the Jets. I was mentioning this yesterday, and we're going to have Rich Cimini on this morning around 9:15. He covers the Jets for ESPN.com. In reading up on the Jets this week, the things I'm reading, the things they're saying in New York, are exactly what we said about the Bills' offense in September and October when, you know, when it was a struggle to get a touchdown. And multiple touchdowns in the same game was a pipe dream. You know, that's where the Jets' offense is. This matchup looks good. A Bills' defense that has been playing well against a Jets' offense that is really struggling. A Bills' offense that is showing signs of improvement against a Jets defense that I think has, maybe it's just cracking under the weight of carrying that football team, like we talked about with the Bills defense earlier this season. The Jets defense is now, you know, they're not getting takeaways. They're not getting a pass rush. They're not, you know, stopping the run. They're really having some issues on that side of the ball. So there are a lot of things to like about Sunday's matchup. And, of course, it's Josh Allen versus Sam Darnold, which is what we were hoping for a few weeks ago. Now we get it. Okay, let's open up the phone lines, and we'd love to hear from you, 803-0550 on Football Friday. You can share your thoughts on what you've seen from Josh Allen the last couple of games. You can give me your thoughts, your prediction on the Bills-Jets game on Sunday. We're going to get to some Sabres discussions as well. Four-game losing streak after the 10-game win streak. Want to know if you're worried or you're still confident. So we'll talk about that as well. Today on the show, we will have Lorenzo Alexander joining us. Very excited. He's going to be with us at 7 o'clock this morning. Nominated by the Bills yesterday as their Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. Sal is going to join us at 7:30. John Murphy with his normal Football Friday segment with us at 8:30 this morning. And I mentioned we'll find out more about the Jets. It looks like Darnold's going to play. They did not pronounce him the starter, but Darnold practiced fully yesterday, and all signs are pointing to him indeed starting on Sunday against Josh Allen at New Era Field. So Rich Cimini, 915ESPN.com, with the latest on the Jets. But we want to hear from you. Let's go, folks. Pick up a line. Let's talk sports this morning. Howard and Brayton with you. Jeremy off today. 803-0550 to join us. Hey, before we go to break, Brayton, what do you think? Can we give something away? I know it's early. Brayton just gave me the finger. All right, let's give it away anyway. I'm kidding. He didn't. He doesn't flip me off until later in the show. We have, let's see, what do I want to
do
today?
Every segment.
Thank you. We have tickets. Pair of tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra, the Ghosts of Christmas Eve show. That is going to be a week from Saturday at KeyBank Center. Saturday, December 15th, 7:30. Minimum value of the prize is $100, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Call now. Brayton's clearing out the contest lines to make it all nice, fair, and square. 644-9878. Caller 5, get you a pair of tickets. Caller 6, get you a pair of tickets. Celebrate the holiday season with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. 644-9878 for your chance to win. If you don't win tickets, tickets are still available at tickets.com.
Making the prediction, usually you're making it before the A.J. McCarron trade. And so I thought with A.J. McCarron, it was, you know, maybe a 6-7 win season and maybe with a chance of getting to 8. You know, I thought that was the case. But then all of a sudden, out goes McCarron. And then I had to kind of readjust because I don't have any faith in Nathan Peterman. And to go with the combination of Nathan Peterman and Josh Allen, who I still thought the best thing to do was to let him wait. So that kind of readjusted things. But then, I mean, you look at how weird this team is in the sense that they can play so bad and yet they can play against certain teams so well and pull out victories you don't think is logical.
It's John Clayton. He was on with Chope and Bulldog yesterday. If you missed the interview, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. Jeremy is off. Brayton is here. I am here taking your calls. 803-0550 on this Football Friday. But also, we'll get to some Sabres hockey. Actually, we'll do that in a second as well, because they are back in action tomorrow. Let's talk injuries. Yikes. So here's the deal. The news on the injury front. You want the good news first?
Yeah, probably.
There's less good news than there is bad news, so I'll give you the good news first. Jason Pominville is expected back in the lineup tomorrow for the game against the Flyers.
All right, now give me the bad news.
Brayton, have you ever played defense before? Do you think you could handle that? How's your skating?
Skating's not good enough to play defense, so no.
Are you All right, so you'd be more of a stay-at-home defenseman.
I'm more of a fourth-line grinder type of forward. Get me to the front of the net. I'll stand there all day. Don't expect much more from me then.
You couldn't be a stay-at-home defenseman who just basically never leaves the crease? You just stay back there and don't go up ice?
I'm not that bad at with my shot, but just put me in front of the net and I'll just, yeah.
Well, the injuries are pretty bad on the blue line. In fact, the news kind of got worse on Jake McCabe. Paul's got full details at WGR550.com, but the injury is a little more severe than apparently the Sabres thought. So McCabe, upper body, is now listed as week-to-week. That's a big loss. He's been in top four, getting all those minutes, contributing on offense, key guy on the penalty kill, so week-to-week for him. Casey Nelson, week-to-week with upper body. Marco Scandella, upper body, he is day-to-day. So that's the rundown on the banged-up Sabres defense corps. They will host Philadelphia tomorrow at 1 o'clock. The Flyers lost to Columbus last night, 4-3 in overtime. Other games of interest, Tampa beat Boston 3-2. The Lightning have won 5 in a row. The Leafs lost in overtime to the Detroit Red Wings, 5-4. Montreal beat Ottawa, 5-2. Florida lost to Colorado, 5-2. If you're curious about the division, Tampa's in first, 45 points. Toronto's in second, 41 points. The Sabres are in third with 38 points. They are 5 points ahead of the Montreal Canadiens. Bill's injury report. Jason Krum did not practice yesterday with a groin. Isaiah McKenzie added to the injury report. He was limited due to a toe. John Miller practiced fully, so maybe he returns to his starting right guard spot against the Jets. Sam Darnold practiced fully yesterday for the Jets, but Todd Bowles did not pronounce him as definitively as starting on Sunday, but that everything is pointing towards that. Isaiah Crowell, one of the Jets running backs, did not practice for the second straight day. Kelvin Benjamin is a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He signed a one-year contract with the Chiefs yesterday. According to ESPN, Washington quarterback Alex Smith, his career might actually be over. He is dealing with complications from the broken leg, including an infection post-surgery. Tennessee beat Jacksonville 30-9 last night. Derrick Henry, if you have him on your fantasy team, good deal. 99-yard touchdown run as part of a record-setting, for franchise history, most rushing yards, 238 yards and 4 touchdowns. Those are your headlines. The next update coming up at 7 o'clock. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. Opened up with some football. I want to bring in some hockey as well because we're multitasking today. Football, because it's Football Friday. Bills are playing the Jets on Sunday at the stadium. I was going to say, assuming it'll be shoveled out, but it will be. The Bills put out the notice yesterday looking for folks to help shovel out the stadium. And then hockey, too, because the Sabres are playing tomorrow at 1 o'clock against the Philadelphia Flyers. This is a stretch, at least these next few games, where they can get back on a winning streak. I'm sorry, if you're just joining us, Josh Allen, we want to talk about what you think the last two games you've seen of Josh Allen. Josh Allen post-injury versus Josh Allen pre-injury. Anything else you want to talk about with the Bills-Jets matchup, that's fine. But also want to talk some Sabres hockey as well, because they need to get back on the winning track, and they can do that here. Hey, play your game that you played against Toronto, and you'll be in good shape these next few games. The schedule, they finally get a little bit of a break. You know, we've been talking for, I feel like, 3 weeks now about a brutal stretch of schedule. First, it was that weekend. Well, the three games in 4 days, Winnipeg, Minnesota, and Pittsburgh. And then we talked about, going to Florida, Tampa and Florida, playing back-to-back, then playing Nashville on a Monday and coming home, flying back in and playing Toronto the next night. So, and that was all part of a stretch of 11 games in 19 nights. And in that stretch, they got the winning streak up to 10, and now they've lost 4, a couple of points out of it with the overtime losses to Florida and Toronto. The good news is, on paper, they get a little bit of a break now. First, they got some time to catch their breath. You know, they were off Wednesday. This is the 3 days between games. This is the longest respite, break, whatever, since the first week of November, the 4th through the 8th. I think they had lost to the Rangers in that stretch and then went into the 10-game winning streak. So they definitely needed a break. We know they're dealing with injuries. But just the idea of just, I mean, Wednesday must have been a glorious day for these guys, just to stay away from the rink and to try and just kind of catch your breath after just a ridiculous stretch of hockey games. But if you look at the schedule now, okay, we've talked about all the challenges they've faced and the top teams they've faced, especially this last stretch with Tampa, Nashville, and Toronto, three of the top five teams in the league. Great. Flyers come in tomorrow. you know, hey, if you want to jump on them like you did the last time they were here, great. The Flyers are struggling this season. They're tied for the bottom spot in the Eastern Conference with the New Jersey Devils. They just lost to Columbus last night in overtime. Then you've got Los Angeles here, who you beat earlier this season. They are dead last in the NHL. They are having so many problems putting the puck in the net among their issues, but they can't score. So you've got them here Tuesday night. And then Arizona comes to town on Thursday night, and the Coyotes are... are 11th in the West with 28 points. So you've got three teams, one last in the NHL, one tied for last in the conference, and the other one 11th in the West, three games at home, three very winnable games. You got to win at least two, you know, for my peace of mind. I'm not panicking. I'm not worried. I mean, I would be worried about the injuries having an issue with them, but I loved how they played against Toronto. You play like that with that performance, you should be able to win, if not two, then all three of these games. This is a prime stretch year. In if you look at the schedule for the rest of December, you know, you get later in the month, you're dealing with, they got to play Washington twice. They play Boston twice this month. They got to go to, well, they go to St. Louis. The Blues are struggling, but there are a couple, there are some tough games on the schedule, but this is a prime stretch for them to get some confidence back, if you will. To just get some points again, to snap the four-game losing streak, and to maybe get feeling, you know, good about themselves again. I do like how they played. Again, even in the four losses, Florida wasn't good. Tampa, they hung in there. The Toronto, the Nashville game, up and down. But the Toronto game, great. You know, like I said, if you play like that, you're good. Are there things to work on? Sure. First off, they do have to deal with the injuries on defense. That's been a problem now. As I said, I think missing McCabe has been an issue for this team, at the very least on the penalty kill. They can use some help. Again, now we're getting back to the secondary scoring. You know, someone getting some goals, not named Reinhart or Skinner, and now Eichel the last game with a couple of goals. They need some scoring beyond that top line. They need to get better in terms of special teams. You know, the penalty kill we mentioned has been struggling of late. Part of that is McCabe, I think. The power play's just been awful. You know, the game the other night against Toronto, even Nashville, when you looked at the Nashville game and you thought, boy, 5-on-5, it's not looking so good, not really doing a lot. So, hey, when you get a power play chance, cash in a goal or two. They've been really bad. You know, like I'm talking like couldn't even gain the zone and get set up bad. And Housley tweaked it a little bit the other day. Maybe, I don't know if he'll do a little bit something different in terms of personnel on the number one and number two units for this game tomorrow afternoon, but getting some power play performances, getting the odd power play goal or two would ease some pressure. But you've got to get back to, you know, the other guys helping out, chipping in, you know, whether it's Kyle Okposo or, you know, Connor Sherry now that he's back in the lineup, or, you know, Tage Thompson had a little hot stretch there. Can you get a goal every now and then from Sobotka, Berglund, any of these other guys? That was part, and the defenseman, of course, scoring has been a big key to the team this season. That was part of their success. You don't want to get to the point where this offense is relying solely on Eichel, Skinner, Reinhart. The goaltending, I think, still has been good. Ullmark and Carter Hutton have been fine, but they've got to get more scoring from beyond that top line and be a little bit more productive when it comes to the power play. Like I said, I still feel good about how they're playing. They're dealing with some adversity, you know, for the first time this season, an extended stretch of adversity. There have been rough nights. The opener against Boston comes to mind, the game against Colorado. There have been rough moments. But now, four-game losing streak, coupled with the injuries, pretty much, you know, on your defense corps right now, this is the toughest stretch they've dealt with all season long. So, you know, you want to see them get back on a winning note here, plow through this, you know, get two, if not three, wins in this stretch. Get a few more points. You want to make sure you keep that separation between yourself and fourth and fifth. You know, Montreal and Boston chasing you in the Atlantic Division. So, really, a key stretch for the Sabres coming up with these three games to close out the rest of this homestand. We can talk Sabres hockey with you, because I bet you're doing the same thing. Brayton and I were talking about this before the show. It's December and you're checking the standings. A lot. You are looking at what happened the night before in the division, in the conference. You know, where are the Sabres now? You're looking at the schedule. Things we haven't done in a long time, checking the out-of-town scoreboard in November and December, and again, looking at the schedule. Hey, you know, who are they playing next week? What's the schedule look like the rest of December? You're thinking down the road, trying to see where they can cash in some points and help themselves in terms of the standings, which is a great thing to do this time of year. We can talk Sabres hockey with you, 803-0550. It is Football Friday. We can talk Bills Jets as well. Josh Allen, what have you seen the last couple of games? You can contribute on that. Football Friday presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close, and brought to you by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Save $15 on your first order with promo code TOPSWGR. We will have the game for you Sunday. Here's the deal. It is... Hang on, I got to check one thing while I'm reminding you of the game. Our coverage starts at 7 o'clock Sunday morning, Fantasy Breakfast. And then Bills game day at 8. I will bring your countdown to kickoff at 10. We'll be broadcasting right outside the AdPro Sports Training Center. You can always stop by and say hi. 1 o'clock kickoff. I was just checking the weather. Looks good. Mostly sunny. 34 for the high. 10% chance of precipitation. So, you know, Sunday looks good at the game. Very excited. Let's see. Just trying to check winds. It looks like maybe 10 to 15 miles an hour. 1 o'clock kickoff. Pulse game would show up with the Bulldog. And then Nate Geary on the Overtime Show, 6 o'clock on Sunday night. 803-0550. Grab a line. Join us this morning on WGR.
Hand off Henry to the left. Busting out to the outside, 10-yard line, 15-yard line. Oh, a stiff arm on 15 to the 20, 25, down the sideline, into Jacksonville territory, and still going. Henry is not going to stop. He goes all the way, 99 yards. Derrick Henry, that was magical.
Ian Eagle on the call. Maybe you heard the game last night on WGR. A 99-yard touchdown run by Derrick Henry of the Titans, which ties the record for the longest touchdown run in the history of the National Football League. I was going to use this as a whine, but I'll use it now. I did not see the game. Couldn't think of a reason to actually stay up and watch the Titans and the Jaguars. So, saw the clip this morning, and I'm going to tell you, woof, in terms of tackling. Hello. Did you see the play, Brayton?
I did not know.
So he breaks through, you know, the initial tackle attempts and the scrum around the line of scrimmage. He gets out. First guy to have a shot at him is A.J. Bouye, cornerback. And Henry goes stiff arm. Pushes him out of the way. Next guy comes over is Leon Jacobs. Leon, dude, you really need to work on your... When the first guy tries to stiff arm Derrick Henry and it doesn't work, you might want to take a different approach. Although this guy's tackle attempt was pathetic. He got like one hand on his hip. It wasn't even a... Derrick Henry didn't even have to work hard to shove this guy out of the way. What an awful tackle attempt. It was terrible. And then I forget who the third guy was. Oh, it was Miles Jack. His tackle attempt was somewhere between Bouye and Jacobs. This just in. Hey, guys, if he's stiff-arming people, here's an idea. Tackle him low. Don't go for the shoulder. Don't go where you can be stiff-armed off the play. How about going like waistline, shoestring, anything? Go for the legs, trip them up, anything like that? I mean, three guys all tried the same thing, and the effort was just terrible. Jacobs being the top of the list. Go watch if you haven't seen it. No offense. I mean, it's a 99-yard run. Derrick Henry, really impressive. But that is some of the worst tackling you might ever see. On the other hand... Who isn't happy to see the Jags keep losing, you know, with Doug Marrone? I don't know what happens. I'd never campaign for a guy to lose his job. I'm not that kind of a ruthless, nasty person. But the season going up in flames has been fan-freaking-tastic. The Jaguars lose again. They're 4-9. They have no quarterback. They have, like, cap issues they're going to be dealing with. Got to tell you. Loving that very much. 803-0550 to join us. By the way, there are some interesting football games this weekend. We are talking about the Bills and the Jets, of course, with you today. It is Football Friday. Brayton's going to have Scaff for us later this morning at 9:30. There are some intriguing games this weekend. I got to tell you, I'm now curious if Kelvin Benjamin plays on Sunday for the Chiefs. Sammy Watkins is banged up. So his status for this Sunday is up in the air. Could they get Benjamin in uniform and give him a handful of plays and play Sunday against Lamar Jackson in Baltimore? That's an intriguing matchup. Lamar Jackson is 3-0, and the Ravens are in a wild card spot. Flacco's been out with an injury. I think he's been practicing on a limited basis this week, but as long as they keep winning, right, you're going to stick with Lamar Jackson. So that's a game to watch. Believe it or not, New England at Miami is a game to watch. I have no reasonable explanation for this. Now, New England can clinch the division with a win over the Dolphins on Sunday. Ryan Tannehill has beaten Tom Brady in South Florida three times in his career. I mean, it's just, for whatever reason, that, and by the way, by New England standards, that is struggling. So Tannehill, the stat was, prior to last Sunday, he had beaten Brady as many times as he had beaten the Bills. He was 3-6 against the Bills and then beat him on Sunday. He's got three wins against Tom Brady at home. Go figure. The Patriots have had some real clunkers down in Miami. So that's an interesting game to watch because of that. Indianapolis-Houston, big game for the Colts. They were on a nice little run. Lost last week. Now they're already, I don't know if they'll catch India or Houston because the Texans are 9-3. Colts already are down the tiebreaker. They lost at home. Remember that game? It went overtime. That was the game where Frank Reich went for it on fourth down around midfield or so, maybe even in his own territory, and ended up not getting it. Houston kicks the game-winning field goal. So that's a big matchup for the Colts. They're in the wild card race, and if they want to have any chance of trying to catch Houston for the division lead, they need to win this game and beat the Texans to split the season series. Houston's won 9 straight, an 0-3 start, and they've won 9 straight. They're 9-3. So I think that's one of the more attractive games to watch this week. And Philadelphia-Dallas is now a huge game. You know, I kind of wrote off the Eagles a little while ago, but, you know, I think they're one game behind the Cowboys because Dallas is leading the division at 7-5. I think Philly is 6-6 now after their win last week. That's a huge division game for those two teams. And, you know, in terms of other, you know, just a fun matchup to watch, the Rams at Chicago. The explosive Rams offense against Khalil Mack and a strong Chicago Bears defense. That is the Sunday night matchup. So that's certainly a game to watch. The Bears looking to win the division and go from worst to first. And the Rams, I think, have a chance. I don't think they've clinched the division yet. I think they have. They can clinch the division on Sunday, depending on how certain games fall out. So that's just some of the key matchups coming up on Sunday around the league. 803-0550. It is Football Friday, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. And brought to you by Tops Markets Grocery Delivery. Save $15 on your first order with promo code TOPSWGR. Josh Allen, last two games. What do you think, Bills fans? I think there's a lot to be excited about with what you've seen from him coming back from the injury. He looks like a better, different, more confident quarterback. Certainly, the running plays have had a big impact on this offense in the last two games. So give us your thoughts on that. Whatever else you want to talk about with the Bills-Jets matchup. We've been talking Sabres as well. Losing streak at 4. You worried? Or are you still confident about the Sabres? We can tackle that with you as well. Lorenzo Alexander will join us when we get back. He is having a phenomenal season for an old guy. Yeah, like I'm calling somebody who's 35 old. Okay, old by football standards. So he's going to join us in a moment. Let's give away some more stuff. We have a pair of tickets to see Kiss, the End of the Road World Tour. It is coming to Darien Lake in August. Okay, Friday, August 23rd. So we're giving you plenty of notice here to plan accordingly. Minimum value of the prize, $80, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules apply. Try and win a pair of tickets. Call us right now, 644-9878. Caller 5, you get a pair of tickets. Caller 6, you get a pair of tickets. What'd you end up going with? Like Brayton says to me, you know, is there another Kiss song other than I Want to Rock and I Want to Rock and Roll All Night? And my first thought was Beth. But that's kind of a slow song. I don't know if that's a really... So then what did you end up, what is this?
Apparently this is God Thunder.
Don't know this one. Not shout it out loud.
I'm sorry for the people that are a fan of Kiss. I'm
was
not a big fan.
Made for loving you, baby. You know, you didn't want to go with that one either. Those are the only other songs. I know 4 Kiss songs. This is not one of them. Anyway, 644-9878. Caller 5, caller 6, you each win a pair of tickets to see Kiss. Tickets are on sale. If you don't win them, they're on sale right now at LiveNation.com.